It's Thursday, March 10th, 2022, and I'm Dave Sobel. Two things to know today. The return to the office with employers and employees facing off, and the cybersecurity legislation landscape shifted due to war. This is the business of tech. Some 42% of people who took frequent work trips pre-pandemic say they won't do so in the new working world. That said, it looks like those are changing into workcationing, taking trips to fun places without taking days off. 40% say they're planning to take a blended trip in the next year that's equal parts business and leisure, according to a Morning Consult survey of workers. That's about as many people as those who say they plan to take a pure business trip in the next year, 41%. Lots of returns to the office announcements, too. Twitter is returning on March 15th while retaining the promise that employees could work remotely full-time forever. Google is opening with a hybrid model in April, and while not requiring vaccination to return to work, it does have additional protocols for those workers unvaccinated. Apple is returning to the office on April 11th with a total return on May 23rd. They will also allow vaccinated employees to go maskless at offices where local indoor mask mandates have been eliminated. Notably, all the announcements include some level of flexibility for workers. The federal government, too, is trying to bring workers back. In the State of the Union last week, the president spoke of leading by example on returning to the office. Quote, "People working from home can feel safe to begin to return to the office," Biden said during his speech. "We're doing that here in the federal government. The vast majority of federal workers will once again work in person." It's important to note that the D.C. government has been vocal about bringing employees back in for economic reasons within the city itself. Those companies certainly believe it will happen, per office leaser CBRE. Tech companies held 36 of the 100 biggest office leases in 2021, up from 18% in 2020. Second place is the Fed, too, which has 5.1 million square feet of the 100 biggest leases, less than half of what the tech industry has. And so, some context. 61% of teleworkers are working from home because they're choosing to, per a new Pew Research study. Just 38% are home because their workplaces are closed or unavailable. Pew asked teleworkers in October 2020 why they were working from home, and 60% said due to personal choice, 57% cited fear of infection, 45% said childcare responsibilities were keeping them from home, and 9% said they'd moved away from their workplace. Why do we care? Offices are reopening, employees are investing in office space, and staff who traveled before say they won't, and teleworkers indicate they work from home because they want to. Could the tension be any more obvious? I wanted to note the motivations of the president here. The push to bring people into the office is not about what's best for work, but what's best for the optics of the economy. That's not necessarily bad. It's just disconnected from the work itself. The D.C. mayor, however, is a different story. She's trying to drive what has become a natural behavior. She wants workers downtown to try and protect existing businesses built for the pre-pandemic time. I get that. It's just short-term thinking. Instead, those businesses are going to need to adapt. You can't force people to behave a certain way. Remember that on the business side. Leaders may like the optics of returning as the president wants, but need to instead think about the actual realities on the ground. You can't force customer behavior, nor worker behavior, and instead, you need to adapt to the new reality. Let's take a look at a few things on the legislation front. While I was away last week, President Biden delivered his State of the Union address, and I wanted to highlight a mention of online privacy legislation specifically focused on children. That's the one essential item related to services. Also of note, the U.S. Senate approved new cybersecurity legislation that will force critical infrastructure organizations to report cyber attacks to the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, within 72 hours and ransomware payments within 24 hours. This measure had previously floundered, and it's on its way to the House for a vote. In the House, lawmakers introduced legislation to create a Bureau of Digital Services Oversight and Safety within the Federal Trade Commission to investigate systematic risks on online platforms and issue transparency requirements and guidance. And within the context of both COVID-19 and Ukraine, the White House requested emergency funding, some of which includes efforts on cybersecurity. The emergency request would give the Defense Department $1.25 billion to support operational surges across multiple national defense components, including accelerated cyber capabilities, weapon systems upgrades, increased intelligence support, and classified programs. According to OMB, another $40.2 million in the request would go to bolstering cyber, counterintelligence, and cryptocurrency tools at the FBI. The administration also asked for $28 million to beef up the Bureau's investigative and operational response to cyber threats stemming from the Russia threat and war on Ukraine. Why do we care? Pre-war, that cybersecurity legislation was stuck in dead. Now it's moving again. It's not a done deal, and there are some indications that the House may be problematic, but a data point on how the reality's changed. A surge of investment, too, in cyber due to the war. That's why we care. The landscape changed yet again. Did you know that the average MSP spends 10 hours manually inputting accounting data each week? That time is 120 prospect calls, a month's worth of the business of tech, or building an entire Lego Death Star. Gazinta Mobius can make your life easier through accounting automation. Automatic sync of invoices, expenses, and inventory from ConnectWise Manage into QuickBooks Online in just a single click of a button. With onboarding direct support and regular feature releases, Gazinta is a family-owned company dedicated to making software suck a little less each day. Visit them at gazinta.com. That's G-O-Z-Y-N-T-A.com. Thanks for listening. I feel like we're almost caught up on all the news, although there's still a couple of good ones to come. I will talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.